Let's go, my friend, climb this mountain with me. We're gonna sing and dance for eternity. The trail we're on may be quite rough and steep, but as you start to walk, we'll give you all that you need.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we are again. Thank you, Jesus, that he is with us. And we are with him. Thank God we're with him. Without him, I could do nothing and be nothing. So praise the Lord. We have him in our lives tonight. So I want to welcome everybody to tonight's live service and broadcast, and hope that you're all right tonight and the Lord is ministering to you this past week. So praise the Lord. All right, we're going to open up with some news tonight as we start out here on this. What is today anyway? Today is the 8th of March already. So we're moving right on into this new year, third month already. So let's go ahead and hear a little bit of news. You know, it took Frito-Lay 63 years to build a multi-billion dollar empire. I think it's $91.3 billion empire. And this week, 50 seconds almost destroyed it. That's how close the company came to corporate annihilation after its Doritos team posted a short video with a trans influencer that makes Dylan Mulvaney look like a youth pastor, is what they said about it. Anyway, turns out the man was 24-year-old, and he goes as Samantha Hudson. Isn't just a man pretending to be a woman, but is a sick pervert with dreams of sexually abusing children. And so as things were heating up, suddenly Frito-Lay didn't just take the video down. They actually fired Hudson. A spokesman told Rolling Stones, "We have ended the relationship. And so we strongly condemn words or actions that promote violence or sexism of any kind," Frito-Lay said. So they got rid of this guy that claiming to be a woman because he posted he wants to have sex with, you know, children and all kinds of perverse things. So if they had kept up with him and kept him on, I'm sure they would have suffered the same thing as Bud Light has, which has taken a lot of their... It really did them a hit, Budweiser, so because of them using the trans person in their advertisement. All right, so anyway, Elon Musk exposes Biden's little fly-in program that he has flown in, his little secret. Flown in 320,000 illegal aliens from foreign countries into the United States. So Biden used secret flights to bring them in, and it was very, very hush-hush secretive where people didn't know about it. So Elon Musk exposes it. And well, Arizona Governor Hobbs vetoes bill that allows the police to arrest illegals that are overwhelming their state, while Texas announces that Texas immigration law now allows law enforcement in Texas, they are now allowed to arrest and jail any illegal immigrant crossing the border. So they're going to hopefully really do something to stem the flow that is coming across the border by the millions into this country. Court rules that Biden cannot force health care workers, cannot force them to perform transgender surgeries. Well, that's good. It shouldn't be able to force anybody to do something that they don't believe is right or they don't, it's not in their religious view or whatever it may be. To violate their conscience, to force to be doing things they don't want to do. Okay, here Dallas Jenkins, the creator of The Chosen, explains how he and the Mormons, that's right, worship the same Jesus. That's false, but that's what he said. He joined a Mormon podcast to explain how evangelicals and Mormons worship the same Jesus. He said, "We have a lot of theological differences, but we love the same Jesus." I'm sorry, they have another Jesus, but that it talks about in Galatians, even though there's not another Jesus. It's a false Christ, and the Bible says in the last days there'd be many false Christs. And so there is indeed a false Christ, and Jenkins, the founder of The Chosen, producer of The Chosen, he needs to, do some theological studies himself and study the Bible and find out that they're not on the same page at all. Nothing even close. And they don't serve the same Jesus. They don't worship the same Jesus we do. Our Jesus is not the brother of Lucifer. And that's what the Mormons believe, that our Jesus is the... You know, that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer, and that is totally not true, totally unscriptural. Our Jesus is God. He's not some brother of Satan. They are really deceived. And for him to say this, that's deception on him. CDC tells people 65 years old and older to take more COVID-19 booster shot. Oh, yeah. take more. Yeah, we're not killing enough of you. Not enough of you have died yet, so take more, right? Oh, that's ridiculous. Nation's largest pharmacy chains, CVS and Walgreens, will begin selling chemical abortion substances. Of course, the person will have to get a prescription still to get it, but still, they're promoting something that is not hard to get prescriptions for that. But anyway, more abortions chemically, pharmaceutically, the abortion pill. Mm. Well, Japan is kind of having a problem right now, and their population meltdown is two people now are dying for every one that is born. So they have a serious depopulation problem going on. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It is only in the states that have legalized abortion. That is correct. That's right. But, you know, some people just have to cross a border to get the pill, and, you know, that's pretty bad. But anyway, so Japan, they're losing more people than they're having born. More people are dying in Japan than are being born in Japan. While ex-Google executive authority, I mean, not authority, but ex-Google executive Anthony Lewandowski has founded a church where people worship an artificial intelligence God. Well, you know, if you're worshiping AI, then you're worshiping a demon, obviously. So you found a church that's going to worship AI? Well, what's new? Because AI is often possessed by demons and controlled by demons. I mean, you know, the devil can control inanimate objects, or they can control electronic devices. They can get into those things to receive worship and receive things. Yeah. So anyway, that's the last of the news tonight. That's all I'm going to share. So we want to move on here. And again, welcome everybody to the live service broadcast tonight on this eighth day of March 2024. And so we're going to open up in prayer and believe God for him to really minister to people tonight and encourage people and teach people and help people. We give you the glory. And so, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus and thank you, Lord, for being here today and manifesting yourself, Lord. Thank you for healing people that are sick, Lord. We rebuke the enemy. Yes, we rebuke the enemy off of Estrella Feliciano's body, too. And thank you, Lord, that he's much better this week. Father, we pray for this young couple who just got married this week, Father. Ask you to bless their marriage and minister to them in their new place of being wed together as one flesh. We thank you for that couple and thank you for ministering and encouraging them and helping them as they go into life together now as a married couple, Father. And Lord, we also pray, Lord, anybody else that's sick that I did not mention, Lord, I pray for their healing and their body, Father. We continue to pray for a sister with cancer to be recovered from that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for healing in her body. Thank you that the devil shall not prevail. Thank you for the young girl that was sick last week and I didn't get a request in time. Thank you that she's better in Jesus' name and continue to completely be healed up. Thank you for that in Jesus' name as well. So, Lord, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. And thank you that, Lord, this is the 500th episode. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of them. And, Lord, we rejoice that we've been able to share that many messages with people by the power of your Holy Spirit. And ask you to bless tonight's time too as well and encourage everybody, minister to them And Lord, we give you all the praise for whatever happened good tonight, Lord. We pray for this country, Lord, for a turnaround. We bind and break the controlling devils over this country that are trying to take control and ruin America forever. But we thank you, Lord, that they will not prevail in the name of Jesus. We thank you that there is a righteous remnant in this country, and you love your people, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that things will turn around in Jesus' name in America, Lord. We break the power of darkness over this country. We break the grip of this evil administration of darkness that doesn't even seem to care that people are suffering so much in this country. They just want to keep on pumping money into Ukraine, which is a corrupt regime over there as well. So we just stand against that deception there too, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for helping the people of America. Many are in great need tonight. So Lord, we ask you to encourage those who are suffering and in great need and provide for them. And Lord, that they will, Lord, turn things around. Lord, that you will turn things around in America, Lord, so that there can be provision made for our veterans who are being put out of places so that illegals can move in, and illegals are committing crimes and murdering people. It's just a tragedy, and all these foreign troops are coming in under the guise of the open borders, right? They're coming in and being flown in on these secret flights. Lord, we pray that that this country would repent for their many sins and the darkness that they've been a part of, Lord. And things would turn around in this country for your glory, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless the broadcast tonight. Lord, bless the word. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Bless the people that are listening. Encourage them, strengthen them in their walk with you. And I ask you to just help them, Lord, by the power of your Spirit in their day-by-day life and all the different attacks of the enemy and the struggle some of them may be going through, Father. Thank you that you bring them through and out on the other side of them. In the name of Jesus, for your glory, Father, we pray, and everybody agrees, says amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So here we go. This is our 500th episode tonight. So that's a big deal, I guess, to have 500 of them that you can go listen to anytime you want on the, on the website. At Blog Talk Radio. Yeah, you can go and listen to them. They're there. They're free. And so they're available if you'd like to listen anytime. But we're live tonight, and we just thank you all for being here and welcome you to the chat room. And those that are listening live tonight by telephone and other, by computer, we thank you for being here. And Lord bless you tonight, and may he encourage you and help you. And we're going to get into the word now. Praise God. I'm excited to be able to share this word with you. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Walking strong. How many of you walking strong tonight? How many of you walking weak tonight? Well, it's time to walk strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I tell you that. We live in a time where we need to be walking strong. So what's been plaguing you lately? Anyway, what's been going on? What's been coming against your life? Has it seemed like you're losing more than you're winning, or you're losing more ground than you're gaining? You know, we're living in a dark and troubled land, and we've seen the work of devils go to extreme levels that we have never seen before in our lifetime, okay? And this is a different landscape that we're living in today than we've ever had to live in and face, so. You know, not only that, there are daily battles in each of our lives that we must all face, and spiritual battle, spiritual warfare is going on. In fact, I say life is spiritual warfare because that everybody has spiritual warfare, whether they want to face that, that's what it is or not. Some people say, well, you know, I guess that's just the Lord's will. No, I'm sorry. A lot of what happens to people is not the Lord's will at all. It has nothing to do with the Lord. It has to do with devil and evil in this world. So there's a flood of evil in this land. Okay? And so there are daily battles that all of us are going to have to learn to fight and win through Jesus Christ, through the authority that we've been given in Christ Jesus. And so there's more illegal illegals coming into this country than there ever has been. And so we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, see? Because the world is in gross darkness, the Bible says. And so what will you do? How will you prevail against the darkness today? You know, our dollar is so inflated now, it buys so little anymore. I mean, things have doubled in price, so many things have. Men don't know it, but, you know, they don't know whether they're a man or a woman, a lot of them, see? They can't figure it out, and women don't know whether they're men or a woman or not either. I mean, what a mess, see? For a lot of people, they don't know whether they're going to be a bird, a bear, a dog, or a cat, and they want to be identified as dog, cat, bear, whatever. Perversion has risen to a level it seems to have never been seen, and at least not in our lifetime. We've not seen it. I realize that child trafficking is not new. My wife showed me a scripture today that I have seen also before, where they would sell a boy for, trade it for wine or something, I forget, but, you know, that was trafficking going on back then in the Bible. I mean, Israel was involved in all manner of evil and perversion at times, so much that it just grieved the heart of the Father. Just like surely the Father is sad to see this country in the condition it is in. But thank God for the righteous, you know. I mean, thank God for people who are praying, people who are standing in the gap and interceding for the country and for people to be saved. I mean, even government who is supposed to serve and protect, often calls good evil and evil good. We see that today all the time as well, to such a level that, demons and devils have been allowed to take even the highest offices in this country and highest government positions in this country. And how do they get there? A lot of it by deception and subterfuge. Absolutely, by a lot of lies. And so, anyway, are you hiding today? Have you put your head in the sand? A lot of Christians have their head in the sand. They don't really know what's going on. Are you in denial about the evil realities around about you? Does it seem these giants of darkness have won against the righteous today? Some people think that. I don't believe that. Do you accept defeat today? I don't accept that. Are you just rolling over and acquiescing to demons? Like a dog that's been whooped, they roll over on their back and some of them do more than that. I mean, do you feel defeated? What are you going to do? What are you going to do, you know? I mean, we're faced with problems on an almost daily, if not daily, sometimes hourly basis. Well, what do we do with that when it comes knocking on our door? You know, I want to share some principles to help you today to overcome in the times that we're living in and to live above the control of the enemy and of the world of wickedness around us. It's important that we start here. You need to rehearse your victory and not your defeat. A lot of people, all they do is talk about how defeated they are, how whipped they are, and, you know, about everything wrong and how things just going worse and worse for them. And they don't speak faith. I mean, they're speaking their defeat all the time. They're acting like a defeated person. And unfortunately, this is not, what the Christians, they're not rehearsing their victory. They're rehearsing their most people rehearsing their defeat. Hey, look at how bad and how difficult it is, and you know how big that thing is in front of them. And man, it looked like I remember those old commercials. It looked like the old ho 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 green giant. You know, he's big old giant, and things are looking like giants in their lives, and even a Goliath. In fact, let's take David for a moment. Today, as we are talking about this, you all know the story of David and Goliath, don't you? Of course, most Christians know that story, but we'll just take a few scriptures from that to go along with what we're talking about that's important here. 1 Samuel 17:33. And so we see, and Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." Yeah. Well, David could have said, "Right, King, you're right. I am just a boy. Bye-bye. I'm going home now." But is that what he did? No, that's not what he did at all. That's not what he did. But he was. Said the king said, "Just go on home, boy," you know. But no, that's not what he did. What did he do? We read on in verse 34. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto him, "David, go, and the Lord be with you." All right, he heard him. He heard his determination. Saul just backed off and said, go on home. He said, "Okay, go, and the Lord be with you." I mean, this boy was bold. I mean, he declared his victory in the midst of, everybody in the foxhole, everybody, you know, cowering in fear from Goliath the giant. And David declaring his victory, this is just a boy, a young, handsome boy. Yeah, just saying, hey, he rehearsed the past victory and by faith the future victory of defeating this giant, this devil, this pagan devil. And see, David does this, you know, all through the Psalms. He releases what God has already done. He rehearses it and releases it, what God has already done and is doing. And so he declares what he will do. And when he does that, he's declaring what he's going to do. Okay? And so are you doing that? We ought to be doing that. This is important, folks. Psalms 86:15. Let's read another verse here before we go back here and read some more in Samuel. Psalms 86:15. All right, here we go. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Do you know your God? Do you really know him? He's a God full of compassion. He has compassion on you. Did you know that? He has compassion on me. He's a God that's full of compassion, and he's full of grace, graciousness, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy, plenteous in truth. He is a good God, folks. We have a God who loves us. We have a God who cares about us, a God who wants us to walk in victory over the enemy. See, because God is all these things, he goes on to say, as we read here again, further here in this chapter in Psalms 86 here, which I lost my page. I'm going back there. Okay, here we go. In Psalms 86, he goes on to say in verse 16 and 17, "Oh, turn unto me and have mercy upon me, and give thy strength unto thy servant, and say, says the son of thine handmaiden, show me a token for good." This is what David is crying out now. David goes on to say this, "Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me." you need to pray that prayer too. If you're not seeing anything good going on lately in your life, pray this verse 17, show me a token for good. I've prayed it before, and God has shown me a token for good. And he will do the same for you if you believe that, see? Okay, show me a token for good. Show me a token that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comfortest me. Thank God for the comfort he gives us. We need it so many times. So now, Lord, do to me what I have declared and proclaimed you to be. See, not only do we declare the past victories, but we also declare what we know God is going to do and what he says he is for us as well. I mean, he's that for me. He is compassion for me. He is a victory for me. He's all these things for me as well. He's all these things for you as well. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay, so next, don't use someone else's armor. Don't use someone else's armor. Back to Samuel 17:38-30. Remember, Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proven it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I've not proved them. And David took them off. He took them off. He didn't wear any of the king's armor. You know, he didn't do it. And so we mustn't do something just because it worked for somebody else. Every person who has been healed has not been healed the same way. Do you know that? You know, the blind man, what had dirt and spit put on his eyes? Naaman. Remember him? He had to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Others had anointed handkerchiefs sent to them by Paul. So don't use someone else's armor. It may not just happen exactly the way it happened for somebody else. In other words, you've got to prove the Lord on your behalf. You've got to believe God and give revelation from him on your behalf. So that leads to the next one, is get God's revelation knowledge. His armor. Hear God, not someone else. Right? That's important, saints. And verse 40 here, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Okay? So this looked kind of ridiculous to the soldiers out there that had all this armor and swords and shields and all that. This poor boy's going to go out there and get himself killed, you know. They were probably just talking among each other, all kind of negative talk. What's wrong with this crazy boy going out there with just 5 smooth stones and a slingshot in a bag? You know, what's wrong with this boy? I mean, picture that. Young boy going out there to fight this big giant with just a slingshot and 5 stones, right? I heard that he took 5 stones because, you know, Goliath had 4 brothers, right? So he's going to kill them all if they showed up. But anyway, yeah. So your revelation may not, you know, be what somebody else thinks it should be, but nevertheless, it's your revelation. You got it from God. You better act on it, right? And David acted on what had been proven for him. Hallelujah. And so I remember, you know, years ago, I was pastoring in another state, several states back, and, you know, I got the hiccups for days. And I mean, it just went on and on for days. So after about 3 or 4 days, I went to the doctor, which normally today I wouldn't probably go to the doctor. But back, that was many, many years ago, and I got some pills they said would get rid of those hiccups, and they didn't seem to do anything, so I just threw them away. And I said, well, I'm just going to believe God. That was my revelation. I'm just going to believe God because, you know, and then all of a sudden, all these well-meaning Christian folks would start saying things like, well, I know a fellow who got the hiccups for 17 years. He's still got the hiccups after 17 years, you know, or you must have sin in your life, Pastor. That's why you got those hiccups. I mean, you know, Job's friends, you know, they were beamed into the 20th century, right? And that wasn't, you know, in the 20th century, not the 21st century, when I got this thing that attacked me. And so, well, I just did what I felt, you know, Lord said, even though Job's friends were there giving me all their little information, what they thought the problem was and what I ought to do, you know, to get rid of these hiccups. But anyway, I just fasted. And you know what? They were healed. They were gone. And obviously they're still gone because I haven't done that since. And in Jesus' name, not going to have it again, ever. But he could have told me to go drink six cups of grape juice, and that would have been my revelation. But he could have said, go eat such and such. Or he could have said, you know, what he did say, fasted. I fasted. And I did that, threw away those pills. And I just fasted, and God, you know, he took care of it. So confess your faith is the next one. I mean, say what you believe. What you're believing, you know. Confess it right to the problem and not to someone else. Sometimes you don't need to tell anybody else what you believe in. Sometimes, you know, remember what Jesus had to do when he went in to raise this, was it the girl from the dead? And he said to them, hey, she's not dead, but she's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, the scripture says. So they just laughed and mocked him, and he put them all out of there except the girl's parents and Peter, James, and John, I think it was, Peter and John, I forget which exactly who, but still, you know, confess what you're believing right to the problem, right to the problem, not tell everybody else. I mean, really, does everybody else need to know? They'll just try to, you know, some of them might mock you, try to talk you out of it. I know I've had well-meaning Christians try to say things, you know, well, you better go to the hospital, you better do this. No, I'm going to do what God says, you know. And we have to decide, we're going to obey God or we're going to listen to other people. We're going to listen to Job's friends. You know, verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. See, he's speaking right to the problem. In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee, take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. We have a God that is thicker, closer than a brother. Hallelujah. We have God that is almighty, that's going to take care of our situations if we'll believe that, see? If we'll confess that and speak it out there. You tell someone else, they'll probably try to talk you out of it. You know, you heard of the Big Mac attacks. Well, you know, there is such a thing as an unbelief attack, too. You know, many times people get unbelief attacks. I'm sure you've had them. When you want to go and believe God for things, and the enemy says, oh, come on, you know, that'll never happen to you. God isn't listening to you. That happened to other people. Now it's going to happen to you. And all kinds of lies. We've all heard them, right? We've all heard them. We've all heard the devil's little things to try to talk you out of. But, hey, why is he trying to talk you out of it if it isn't a possibility? If it isn't true that God is our healer, or God is our deliverer, he will fix the situation. But the devil come try to talk you out of walking by faith and walking in the revelation you've got. 1 Samuel 17:1, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah and the Fishdamim. Okay, so here we see. No, that's not the verse I want to read. 17:11 is one I want to read. Let's read the right one. No one. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words, the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Okay, they were afraid of the giant when they heard those words of the giant. See, when Goliath attacks, perhaps all the others, you know, around you will be in fear. You might be the only one to stand up to Goliath. See, because when they heard the words, the armies of Israel, the armies of Saul, you know, they heard the words, they were dismayed. They were greatly afraid. And when we face the enemy and we hear and see the stuff that's coming our way, looks like going to happen and all that, So the fear can attack. Yeah. And fear can attack and unbelief can attack. Yeah. You could get in fear yourself, and then again, you might be the only one to stand up to this guy. So you hit it in the head on. You hit it head on. You face the problem head on, like David did. David ran to the problem in verse 48. He ran toward Goliath. He ran. That's right. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So he was running it toward his problem, face it head on. And most people try to get away from it rather than, you know, face it, deal with it, defeat it, right? Yeah, they were trying to get away to running. A lot of people practice running from their problems. Well, running from a problem doesn't solve your problem, does it? I don't think so. So then the next thing, you need to cut off the head of Goliath. That's right. To cut off the head. That's in verse 51 here. We see David taking care of that. And you need to cut off the head of your enemy. You know, cut off the head of that problem. Cut off the head of this demon that keeps trying to torment you. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. They fled. And they cut off his head. Now, you don't just whoop the problem. You follow through with total destruction of the devil, of the Goliath, of the problem so it can never return. And so many quit too soon. That's right. It's like when the prophet went to the king and said, beat the ground with your arrow, and he only beat it two or three times. And the prophet was angry with him because he said, now you're only going to defeat the enemy two or three times. But if you'd have beat the ground multiple times, you would have totally destroyed your enemy. And he was angry at this king because he didn't take it seriously enough. See, he didn't take defeating the enemy seriously enough. So many quit too soon. Okay, they make a compromise with Goliath. They, you know, oh yeah, maybe there's a need to you know, to repent. Maybe, you know, because you've made a treaty with the devil. You can't make a treaty with the devil. You know, what does Goliath mean? It means stranger or exile. That's right. Stranger or exile. And so if you have one, you need to treat it as such, right? I mean, what stranger do you still have attached to your life right now? And why do you want a stranger or exile in there in the first place? Why do you let it hang around? Why do you let it keep on being there when you don't have to? Things and beings that just don't belong in a godly life. We're called to live godly in and through Christ Jesus. That's our calling, to live godly, not to live demonically. We're never told to live demonically in Christ Jesus. We're told to live godly in Christ Jesus. So that stranger that rises up when you're weak, or you let it have the dominancy in your life, you let it have its way in your life, and then ask yourself, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Well, I let it have the dominancy. I know better than that. Why'd I do that? I did what I don't want to do. I know that's not me. I know that's not my new nature. I know that's not my new creation. That's back from Egypt, man. That's from the flesh. So, yeah, what strangers do you still hold on to? What strangers do you still entertain, you know, that might be hidden away within you? Why would you let them drag you down and hinder your walk with Jesus? It's not you. It's something else that's hanging on to you, invading you, troubling you. And it could even be a spirit you have allowed to hang around yourself since even before you were born again. Because a lot of people have stuff they got before they got born again, still hanging around, still dragging them down, still holding them back, still hindering their walk. And really, wow. You know, what we allow, we're going to have to put up with. You know that. And so why do we keep putting up with that? Why, you know, why do you let them do that? Hinder your walk with Jesus? And, you know, why? I mean, the spirits of evil. Yeah. So it isn't really that much fun putting up with devils, is it? I don't think it is. And, you know, they think, some people think in ways that were not formed by the Holy Spirit. How many know that we have ways of thinking that is not the Holy Spirit at all? I mean, they think having an idol is cool. It's the thing to do. You know, Israel's idolatry brought them into bondage. You've read the Old Testament, haven't you? It talks about how their idolatry and worshiping the other gods and falling into perversion and sexual sin brought them into great bondage. Yeah, and if anybody has any idols today, they too will be brought into bondage by their idols. And, yeah, you say, we don't have idols today. Well, oh, yes, we do. We have lots of them. And some people make idols out of gaming, playing their games on the screen. And, you know, out of their lust, they have make idols. Out of their relationship with other people, they can idolatize a person. Yeah, they can make an idol out of a person in a relationship that, you know, that and out of things. I mean, no, that the lust of other things can be an idolatry as well. Yeah. We need to guard against having any idols. Really, that's serious business to carry an idol around in your life. The spirits of idolatry, they're subtle, sneaky, and if you're not on guard, and really that's the key, is be on guard all the time. Be on guard. If you're not on guard, the things will build themselves into a person's life. They will snare you. They will trap you in their grips. And so we're to always be on guard, folks. The enemy is sneaky, subtle, and this being has, you know, been deceiving for ages, not just human beings. I mean, no, he was there in the pre-Adamic world, too, deceiving and bringing lies and evil to pass in the pre-Adamic world. See, we're dealing with the device of Satan, and we need to be on guard about these things. Okay? We need to not be ignorant of Satan's devices, as the Bible tells us. Goliath, we all face, and one of them that we all face is a corrupt and evil government who kills babies and really is thrilled to do so and condones it and is promoting a free abortion, abortion for everyone, you know, and while America is suffering so bad, that's what he wanted to talk about, was how they're going to, you know, promote abortions and get rid of the Supreme Court members so that they can have abortion for everybody. That's what he talked about in his presidential address, which, really? Is that what America needs when they're all suffering and in debt and struggling to make it and pay the bills and pay the mortgage on the house and pay the rent? And you want to talk about garbage like that, really? You want to talk about your evil and promote? But it shows you're full of devils, right? I mean, this evil who promotes sexual perversion, defending it and promoting it and wanting everybody who wants one to get a surgery. What kind of stuff is this, right? And next, do not become a servant to the problem. You know, don't be a servant to these people that are full of the devil. Don't be a servant to evil. Don't be a servant to the problem, to the Goliaths out there. If we compromise, we don't overcome, we become its slave. That's right. Oh, yeah. And a lot of people are the slaves of devils, let's face it. You know? That's not the way it should be. But nevertheless, that is the condition of many. Yeah. So many believe that the demons or the Goliath is too big, bigger than God. You know? That's just not true. That's right, and I know people who've gotten bruised up by demons and claw marks on their body, and they thought the demon's so big, and they focused on that rather than God. They were focusing on the claw mark. They were focusing on, you know, the bruises on their body. See, that demons have caused them. So, no, why do you think that? Problems are sent your way anyway to enslave you to them. You know, when you're worried about your Goliath, you're controlled by it, folks. That proves you're wasting your time. I mean, you're worrying about it because it's controlling you. Well, so why are you letting fear control you? Why are you letting these big things control you? Family problems, when you should be casting all your cares on the Lord, not letting them control your life and beat you up and cause you to lay there, you know, not able to sleep at night because you're thinking of all these Goliaths there going on. You know, Second Peter 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, the same as he bought in bondage to. So here we see, you know, there was a man we knew, just a little illustration here, but he'd been in church, you know, some, the church that we were pastoring at that time, a long time ago. His Goliath was that his wife left him and moved in with another man. And so he was about 30, 33 at that time, I don't remember, and a good Christian, not the man that his wife left him for, but the man that she left for this other man. And he and his wife had a business, but because of this evil Goliath, he became a servant to evil. He became a servant to Goliath because of this evil. He became, you know, he began dating a married woman himself, and he then heard her husband was out to get him. So he was afraid of his Goliath, right, because he got himself into a mess now, right, with this other woman that, you know, he left. I mean, his wife had left him, and so he went out and got this other woman who was married, and now her husband, you know, the adultery is not something that you take lightly, folks. All kinds of evil can come out of that. And so he began to carry a sawed-off shotgun with him in his car, and we talked to him and shared with him and tried to help him, but he rejected it, and deeper he went with his Goliath. And, well, he went to, you know, get in his car, and he put the shotgun, you know, one day he put the shotgun in, and it went off and blew a big hole in his stomach, and it killed him. Well, how many know Goliath had his way there? How many know that devil had his way with this man and destroyed his life? And so, you know, first it will make you its servant, and then it'll destroy you if it can get away with it. You know, I remember another attack of Goliath. You know, I was supervising a retrofit of a log home in Texas, and we traveled all over doing that and taking care of things for the company that I was part of. And one of my crew members was up on an extension ladder up on the second story working up there. And another one of my crew members was a Christian, and he was under the ladder. The person on the ladder was not a Christian, but this Christian was under the ladder, and the man on the ladder dropped this big log hammer that you drove these big nails into the logs with, and dropped it from the second story on Randy's head. He went down, man. Goliath has struck him, and it could have killed him. And I called another Christian immediately over, another Christian on the crew. He came over, and we prayed. We rebuked the devil. We rebuked this from hurting this man. And we prayed. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. That's right. He was okay. What could have killed him, through the power of Jesus, he was okay. And we stopped that Goliath. We stayed that Goliath. He didn't win. He didn't prevail, but he tried. He had to try. Okay? But he didn't win. A blessing to you, too. Another time I was working on another home, a large log floor joist fell from the ceiling on my shoulder and just missed my head. I remember that. Goliath attacked me, and I cried out to Jesus. You know, it hit my shoulder, bounced off, and I just cried out to the Lord in Jesus' name. And you know what? I was totally uninjured. I wasn't even sore, you know. totally uninjured. That was the Lord. Victory over that Goliath. Victory over that demon that tried to take me out. Because, you know, a ceiling joist in one of these lost homes is not lightweight. It could have done great damage, but thank you, Jesus, I prevailed. Yeah, through the Lord. So I don't know what Goliath is out there to enslave you. And I remember a ceiling joist fell on me in Haiti, too. That's another story. Lord protected me that time, too, but that's another story. But I don't know what Goliath is out there to enslave you and destroy you today. But you know what? I am sure Satan has commissioned at least one to trouble you. And sometimes it seems there are many all at once, even, you know, oh, where are all these giants coming from? What are you going to do? What am I going to do? Well, what should I do? Well, first, rehearse your victory, which is God. Number two, don't use someone else's armor. Number three, get God's revelation knowledge for your situation. And number four, confess your faith right to Goliath's faith. Get in the giant's faith, whatever it is. Hit him head on. And then cut off his head, total defeat, and don't become a servant to the devil. Don't become a servant of Goliath, right? You know, we don't allow these strangers, these demonic entities, to get footholds in our lives, see? Remember, your adversary has been around a long time, even in the pre-Adamic earth, caused that earth to fall as well. It became without form and void because of the evil of Satan. And, you know, God doesn't create things without form and void. So something horrible happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 for it to become in such horrible condition. The earth got in such horrible condition because of the devil, because we don't know how many billions or millions of years that, you know, the earth is old. It's not just 6,000 years old. Mankind might be 6,000 years old, but the earth is way older than that. And we don't know how long Satan had access to this earth and how many generations of evil were allowed to go on in the pre-Adamic earth. But we do know that Satan was there because there is a number of scriptures in the Bible that speak of him being in the earth during that time. And anyway, I'm not going to get into that much tonight, but yeah, we know that it became without form and void because of evil. And God doesn't create things that way, right? So only through Jesus are we in a greater position than these devils. Without him, we couldn't prevail against him. So we're going to have to say, I know where my strength and my help comes from. Okay? I give you all the glory, God. You're the one through whom I can triumph and overcome these evil beasts who try to rise up against me. No, you will not prevail, devil. In Jesus' name, you got to tell him, see? You got to tell him. Remember, declare your victory. Jesus has given us authority over all the power of the enemy, over the trespassing stranger. Remember, Goliath, stranger, right? Use your power. Use your authority. Say, that's enough of this, devil. Stop in Jesus' name. I take you out of Jesus' name. I'm not allowing you to have your way with me in Jesus' name. Yet we see how easy it is to be lazy, too. How many know it's easy to get lazy? To not stand up, to not get into the word, to not deal with the devils that be. It's also easy to procrastinate. Well, I'll read the Bible tomorrow. Tomorrow come, oh, well, I'll get it. I'll catch up the next day, or I'll get up on the weekend. I'll have some time then. I'll get on the weekend. The weekend comes and goes, and you haven't read your Bible at all. You even barely glance and notice it was there. Yeah, easy to procrastinate. The spirit of procrastination, don't do today what you can do someday, right? The problem with that is that someday may never come, right? Someday, you know, it keeps looking up and putting it off to that someday, and the someday, you know, keeps getting further off. Well, the enemy wants to slow us down. How many know that? He wants to slow you down. He wants to slow me down. He wants to keep us to where, you know, we're at a standstill spiritually, where we're not growing or going, but we're just sitting still. And we certainly aren't whooping any spirits when we're like that. I mean, it's easy to let these kind of devils rule and have their way with us. I mean, I just don't feel like it, you know. And I've seen so many Christians put off repeatedly dealing with their devil and getting deliverance. I mean, they could get deliverance, but there is an excuse. Or they just, you know, they're just too busy with other things. Well, isn't getting free more important? Getting free more important? Praise the Lord for that, sister. Good to see that you're doing that. Hallelujah. Yeah, I read 9 chapters, I believe, today. And Linda told me, I think she read 13 or 14. Well, she's going after it. Yeah. But, yeah, I've seen so many Christians put things off. Getting delivered, getting free. There's an excuse. You know, they could have got delivered, and then they make an excuse. Well, are they just too busy with other things? Well, like I said, what's more important? What's your priorities? You know, people would do all kinds of things to not get their deliverance or to avoid reading the word, even though they may tell themselves how much, oh, I need to. I really need to do that. I really ought to read the Bible. I really ought to. Really? What are you doing about that? What are you doing about that? Jesus' name, what are you doing about that? See, we can be easily hindered by devils. There could be a host of reasons we don't read the Bible, pray, get delivered, spend time with Jesus. I mean, we have many, many excuses and many reasons. And some of them sound very legitimate, but really, are they? What? Why are they there? Why are all these excuses there? Why are all these reasons coming up, popping up that we can't do this? And why are we procrastinating things? Because we're being blocked by and hindered or stopped by devils. Devils in a way of spiritual progress is what they're in the way. Get out of my way, devil. You know? Some of you're stuck right now, but you have a hard time admitting that you are stuck to yourself because, oh, I don't want to admit that. Yet you're stuck. You know? I'm okay. No, you're stagnant. You're stuck. You're in a rut. You need to get up and out of your rut. You need to start moving forward again. Because if you're not moving forward or you're just trying to maintain ground, you're probably moving backward. You're probably losing ground. You know, so many times God's people are missing out because of an excuse mentality. See, God has his best for his children today, but many never get his best. They settle for a second, third, fourth, fifth, or tenth best, or sometimes no best at all. You know, be assured, too, of course, that the devil is out to keep you from God's best. He does not want you walking in God's best, okay? He wants to keep you from the best that God has for you. And we've seen this over and over. Many have settled for a mate that wasn't God's best, and they've had a miserable marriage because of it. And God has had to work in it to turn it around, and often it takes years, and sometimes it ends in divorce. Because they just settled for, you know, somebody that was not God's best for them. Somebody that, you know, had them dazzled or whatever. God has a best, but see, often we make excuses like, well, I may never find another man who loved me like I need to be loved. So I better take this one. I better get this one while I can, because a bird in the hand is better than 2 in the bush, right? Instead of saying, God, is this the best one to accomplish what you have for both of us and for our lives? Instead of just waiting on God to find out, is this really God's plan, or is this just my own doing or some devil's doing to put me together, to cause me misery with this person the rest of my life? You know, Jesus, he confronted this excuse mentality, I tell you, in his disciples in John chapter 4. And, you know, he'll confront it in our lives, too, if we'll let him. And we need to be more confronted with ourselves sometimes, too, in that way. John 4:35, let's read a scripture here. It says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look up to the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Oh, yeah, well, 4 months down there, way down there, we'll go to harvest. 4 years later, oh, whatever. No, he said, look right now. Hey, they're white already to the harvest. Ready, ready, ready. And he that reapeth, receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. So he's letting them know, hey, put that excuse away. It's already ripe to the harvest. Don't tell me 4 months. Don't tell me 4 years. Don't tell me that. But we too have every kind of excuse about this, that, the other, about this in the Lord, witnessing even. You know, I'm too shy. It's the pastor's job. They might not like me. They might reject me. You know, I'm too ugly. I'm not educated enough. I'm not well-trained. I can't talk well. Or about healing. Well, I'll believe I'm healed when I feel it in my body. Or, well, you'll never get healed that way, because faith believes it has something before it ever manifests, before it ever sees it. Faith believes it has it. Faith steps out. Remember, the Bible said that don't think before you get taken before the magistrate, before the judge. Don't think what you're going to say. Just go on and you'll have it at the moment you need it. But you first have to be put in a position where you need it. Right? I mean, you'll know what to say when the time is there for you to say it. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to say if I ever have to go before this judge, if I ever have to go before, you know, these lost people. What am I going to say? Well, you'll have it when you need it, the Bible says. Yeah, well, you can keep making excuses, or you can believe what the word says, right? That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You let the feelings of sickness win. The giant of sickness win. Now, I believe God after I go to the best doctors. Well, you may be dead by then. Or if I'm healed, if I'm healed, then, you know, I won't get all the attention anymore, you know, that I'm used to having. You know, you have an attention-getting spirit. You want all that attention, all right? But, hey, if you haven't made it that far, don't worry about it. Just thank God for as far as you're making it. I mean, thank God you're doing it at all, right? Praise the Lord, sister, that you're making progress. Some people aren't doing it at all. How many know that? So praise God for you. More is required of those who more is required of, right? I mean, more is required of a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a preacher. So anyway, that's another story. So, but let's go to Proverbs 23:7. Read another verse here. Proverbs 23:7. All right. The book of Proverbs. You know, there's one for every day of the month. I used to read Proverbs through every month. You know, I would read Proverbs because there's one for every day of the month. And each day I would read the one for that month, and then I'd go read in the New Testament. But I would definitely read a Proverbs a day. Keep the doctors away, right? Keep the devils away. Proverbs 23:7. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with. Excuse me. So what are you seeing in your spirit? Start seeing yourself blessed. Start seeing yourself prosperous. Start seeing yourself well, in Jesus' name. Calling things that are not as though they are. Right? Are you seeing yourself dying sick? Are you seeing yourself, you know, losing your mind? Are you seeing yourself addicted to something? Are you seeing yourself picking out your gravestone? Under a gravestone? Dead already? Defeated? Depressed? Or are you seeing yourself as the Word declares you to be? Are you seeing yourself the way God declares you to be? More than a conqueror through him that loves you. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I mean, how are you seeing yourself today? He just, if you're seeing yourself the wrong way, you need to start seeing yourself the right way. And the right way is programmed into you through the Word of God. It says in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, it is your responsibility to keep your heart. You keep your vision before you. Keep the Word before you. You see, life is in the Spirit. So allow the life to come up out of your spirit. Jesus is in your spirit. The life is in there. Abundant life is there. So allow the life of God to rule your life. See? See, we might limit God by shutting down the life of God in our spirit, our mind, by the mind. And so, yeah, people do that. Thus, the importance of renewing our mind daily by the Word of God. See? We must come to place, see, that everything we face according to the Word. Not according to how the world faces it, but according to the Word. Not our relatives or even how our mind or the ways we've done it in the past cause us to relate to things. But how does the Word relate to it? How does God relate to it? Let's face it correctly. This is not the past, and we're not of the world. Because we're living in a spiritual dimension where there are no excuses, no limitations, and nothing to stop us unless we let it stop us. No devil can stop us unless we let them stop us. Okay? We're in the spirit. Right? That's another dimension of life that we need to learn to be in and walk from and live from, the spiritual dimension. Or there are not any limitations on our lives, see? Except the ones we put there, right? You can go as far with God as you really want to, and you can get as many of his blessings as you determine to get. But see, God is not limited he's not God limited, like a lot of companies, so-and-so limited. No, he's God unlimited, ruler. Creator of the universe, the God of our life, the God of eternity, and yet we have excuses for everything? It's too late to read the Bible. It's too late to study. I'm tired. I can't. It never worked before. I'm too weak. I'm too weak. I can't do that. I'm too sick. I'm too poor. I'm too this. I'm too that. Always an excuse. You make it excuses as a way of life. Some people, that's their hobby, make it excuses at least. They might not call it a hobby, but if you listen to them, that's what they're doing. Always have got an excuse for everything. Huh? Come on now, saints. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've made a bunch of them yourself in your lifetime. I've made some excuses in the past. I've learned that the excuse mentality is not allowed to stay around. I'm not put up with that, see? But how many Christians have an excuse mentality? How many Christians let the giants rule them? Genesis 22:2-3. It says that he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled the ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him to go. Yeah, he was going to let nobody stop him, not make any excuses. What did Abraham do? I mean, he could have said, that was the devil. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sacrifice my son. That's crazy. I'm not going to do that. No, that had to be the devil. No. No, he didn't. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't. God told him, or he could say, "Well, God, you gave me this boy. Surely you don't want me to sacrifice him." See, often we come to a place of justifying what we don't want to do. How many times you justify something you didn't want to do? How many times you seen people do that? Of course, you've seen that. Of course, we've done it. Justify it because we. We justify what we do and justify what we don't do. I didn't do that, God, because I just didn't have time. I just didn't feel like I should be involved in that. I can't step out and believe God in my giving because, I've got to use what I have to pay what I have to pay already. You just cut off your opportunity for greater blessing. I can live better on 90% than I ever lived on 100%. See? Because I'm putting God first with my 10% tithe. He gets it every time, all the time. I make no excuses for that. I make no compromise on that. I haven't for decades, right? I've been a tither for decades. I've been a tither since I was a baby Christian, okay? And I want to never quit, right? And I live better, on that 90%, right? So, praise God. He didn't get there and say, well, you didn't really, really want me to go through with this, did you? No, he didn't do that. Abraham didn't get there to sacrifice his hand and say, oh, you didn't really want me to do that. No. And Abraham, verse 10, he stretched out forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. I was hoping you'd say something. I was just waiting on you, God. He said, lay not thy hand upon that lad. Neither do thou anything to him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Okay, so, and because of this, his no excuse, obedient mentality, what did God do? Well, you know the story of Abraham. He made his descendants as the sand of the seashore. He blessed him, such a blessing, so many times over that it's just incredible, right? 17 and 18 verse here, it says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Hallelujah. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. See, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better. When are we going to obey the Lord? When are we going to quit making all these excuses and having that excuse mentality running around with one of those? We too are the seeds of Abraham. So we are blessed with faithful Abraham, and we can possess the gates of our enemy, which is what? Satan and his hordes and strongholds and doubts and unbeliefs and lacks and sin and giants and poverty and excuses. We can possess the gates of our enemy. We do possess, amen, if we will. It's up to you. You've got to have a militant, determined attitude, though, if you're going to. You got to be determined that the devil's not going to win. He's not going to prevail against you. Never again say to God or anyone, I can't, right? I'm too this, or I'm too that, I'm too weak, I'm too sick, I'm just not a fighter, I'm too passive. No. Just speak Philippians 4:13. When the word of God tells you to do something, just say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I got the strength of the Lord God Almighty on me. I can do all things through Christ. He strengthens me. I got Jesus in me, in my spirit, and he's a mighty one. I could do all things through him. I'm going to make it. That's right. So we don't walk, this Christian walk according to only what we can understand and according to, to economic forecasts and what it looks like out there in the economic world and what it looked like around us and what it looked like up at a district of criminals. No, we don't walk our lives that way. No, we don't. We don't walk according to what we see the economists say is going to happen with the dollar, how it's going to crash and fail. And we don't walk that way according to past traditions or according to what our relatives or our neighbors tell us. No, how do we walk? 2 Corinthians 5:7, for the just shall walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Amen. We got determined that we're in a higher place than those who are living below. Jesus told us to come up higher. He said, look up for your redemption draw nigh. He said, get your eyes up here. Stop looking down at that stuff. Look up. And so faith has vision. It sees past the seen realm into the unseen realm. See, faith has no limitations. Faith has no excuses because it believes that it's already received when it goes into action. Now, faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. I tell you what, they have these bars out called think bars. Well, I say, think God, think faith. That's the kind of bar we need to be eating, right? If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. So I say, thank God, thank faith, think big. We have a big God. Our God is an awesome, unlimited, big God. He would take you where you'd never been before if you let him do it. That's right. Begin to see yourself living without an excuse mentality. Begin to see yourself without making all these excuses all the time. In your mind, you may never say them with your voice, but if you make them in your mind and you act upon them, that's the same thing as speaking them out, really, because you're still yielding to those excuses. You're still making them and yielding to them. And I know a lot of excuses are placed in the mind by demons. So just like thoughts are planted in the mind by demons. Excuses are thoughts that are planted in imaginations that are planted in your mind by devil. Where are they coming from? Where's this coming from? Why am I making excuses? Why don't I want to do that? Why? What's going on here? That's right. You got to ask yourself some strong questions sometimes. You know, why am I being this way? Why am I acting this way? Why am I talking this way? Why am I thinking this way? What is my motivation here? Is this a demonic motivation that I'm yielding to? Is this a giant in there that I'm yielding to and obeying? Is this some kind of subtle, sneaky little serpent that's in there somewhere hiding away and I'm yielding to it? And it's planting these things within me and I'm thinking it's God when it's not God? Yeah, how many know the devils come and try to appear as angels of light? They try to appear like God, but they're not God. And they're deceptive, and they're deceiving many Christians today. How many know that? Oh, yeah. How many Christians do you think are out there deceived right now in some areas of their life? Lots of them, folks. Lots of them, like the guy that, David Jenkins, right? Is that his name, David? I forget. Yeah, I think it's David, right? The founder that produced The Chosen. And you know, I've watched some of The Chosen, and they're all right. But for him to go and say that the Mormons and him serve the same Jesus, Dallas Jenkins, it's not David, Dallas Jenkins, explains how he and the Mormons the same Jesus? Come on, really? And going on a Mormon podcast to explain how evangelicals and Mormons, they worship the same Jesus. We don't have the same Jesus. They have another Jesus. Their Jesus is a different Jesus than we have. I tell you what, Joseph Smith is not going to determine whether I get into heaven or not. That's what the Mormons believe, that Jesus and Joseph Smith will be there letting people into heaven. I don't need a Joseph Smith to let me into heaven. I have Jesus. His blood is more than enough. I don't need a Joseph Smith hanging around, an occultist, a person who, you know, sought things through the occult out there in the woods and formed the Mormon church of what the, you know, Moroni, the angel, gave him. And really? Come on. That's a false angel. That's a, you know, an angel of darkness, masquerading as an angel of light. That whole religion of Mormonism was founded on demons. It was founded on devils. It was rooted in the devil. And you're going to Dallas Jenkins go around saying that we're worshiping the same Jesus? I'm sorry. Somebody's compromising somewhere. And somebody's being ministered to by devils. And we got to guard against being ministered to in these last days by devils. We got to guard against that. We see so many that they just won't go far enough with Jesus. They compromise. They just walk this kind of religious life rather than going all the way with God. They make excuses. They justify not going far with God. They say, oh, that's got to be the devil. I don't want to go that far. I won't be a fanatic. Well, hey, I am a fanatical about Jesus. I am wild about Jesus. I mean, he is everything to me. And don't tell me, you know, to tone it down or to calm down about Jesus, because I can't do that, see? Because, listen, I know there are people that say, oh, you're just getting too much of that Jesus stuff. Yeah, you need to just calm down about Jesus. You need to tone it down. You need to quit just talking about Jesus all the time. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, hey, if you can't talk about him now, what are you going to do in eternity, right? What are you going to do with Jesus forever and ever? The Bible says if we have crowns, we're going to be casting them down before the throne of God and worshiping him. Oh, my. If you can't do that now, if you're embarrassed about it now, what are you going to do in eternity? You going to be embarrassed in heaven, too? You going to be embarrassed when you... to cast your crown before the throne. Well, everybody's doing it. I guess there'll be no pressure there. But in this world, everybody's not doing it, and they don't think of me very good if I speak boldly. If I talk up for Jesus and speak up for him, they criticize me. They might reject me. They might talk about me behind my back. They might ostracize me. Oh, yeah. Excuses, excuses, excuses. You go tell that to Jesus when you stand before him, right? When you go up there and when you stand before him as you're going into eternity, when he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and he said, you know, what'd you do here, you know? Oh, my. Anyway, I don't want to yield to excuses. We want to be bold. We want to be confident. We want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we want to slay those giants, right? We want to slay those giants. We want to not let them have the victory over us, that's for sure. Because greater is he that's in us, right, than he that's in the world. So let's walk that way, talk that way, think that way, live that way. It's not Sunday morning only. It's not, hey, it's every day, 24/7 that we're this way. We got to be the same yesterday and today and tomorrow and always, see? It's not just a Sunday religion like some people. They put on their Sunday everything, not just their Sunday best. They put on their Sunday personality, but when Sunday service over, well, they're back to the old personality, man, a cussing and a carrying on and just cavorting and carrying on with unbelievers and telling dirty jokes and blah, 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 and compromising right and left. Oh, but Sunday's here again. Well, I better put on my Sunday best attitude, Sunday best face. And, well, isn't that hypocrisy? And if we don't be seeking Jesus every day of our lives, and putting him above everything and everyone and every, you know? And then are we really walking the way we ought to be walking in Christ? I think not, my friends. I think that we need to put away spiritual lethargy and laziness today, a fireball in God. And not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ashamed of Jesus? A lot of Christians won't even pray in restaurants. I've been with some. Oh, I'll pray. You know, nobody else is going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm not ashamed to pray in the public. Okay? I'm not ashamed to be bold with Jesus. We have to pray. We have to. Like Daniel, he prayed, yeah, and he got him thrown in the lion's den. See, I don't want to be thrown in the lion's den. I'm afraid. Yeah, but I went. Wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. All right? Afraid of what? Is Jesus afraid to call you his own? Come on now. Let's not go there in that kind of mentality, see? We've got to, you know, he paid the ultimate price for us. He gave his life for you, and you want to be ashamed and afraid to stand up for him? And speak up for him? Oh, man. Oh, some Christians are speaking up for the wrong thing. You know, I know a pastor friend, I'm closing with this because we're out of time here with the message, but pastor friend went to a conference just recently, a couple of weeks back, a few weeks ago, and there were different speakers, a lot of different speakers, and they were really that Israel's perfect, can't do any wrong and all that, that basically putting that narrative forth, and some of the speakers were, that is. And He had a pen, something says, "I'll die for Israel. I'll die." And he says, "How many of you want to wear a pen like this? How many of you? I was afraid at first to wear it, but now I'm wearing it." What about God? Well, you know, Israel is not God, folks. I mean, Israel needs to get saved just like everybody else. They're not born again. They promote abortion and homosexuality, LGBTQ, and all manner of evil is done in Israel. So, I'll die for Israel. I'll die. That's what the pen says, something like that about, "I'll die for Israel. I'll do it or die. I'll do it for Israel." And how many people stood up to get a free pen? About 90-some percent of the people. But this pastor didn't stand up. He didn't stand up because he doesn't agree with that. That's not an accurate way. I mean, just kill all the Palestinians. Just kill them all. It doesn't matter, you know. Just bomb them all. Let them all go to hell. We don't care about them. It's Israel. They could do no wrong. No, that's not accurate. They need to get saved just like we do. And those Palestinians need to get saved just like we did. You know, all of them need to have Jesus, too. I mean, Jesus died for the Palestinians, for the Israelis. He died for every human being, and he bore the whole sin of the world on the cross. All they need to do is receive Christ and believe, see? So why are you doing this? Why is it that Israel can just go kill everybody, and they've done no wrong, according to a lot of these Christians today? No. Evangelical Christian, Israel could do no wrong. And some of them, like John Hagee, teach that the Jew doesn't even have to get saved like we do. Really? Are you kidding me? You preaching that to people? You're preaching deception. The Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, but one new man in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says about it. See, if you get born again, it's neither Jew nor Greek, but one new man, one new person in Christ, see? Anyway, that's just a little story that pastor told me about, and I wanted to share with you as well. And he didn't stand, and he got some funny looks, but, you know, because you're supposed to be gung-ho. Israel could do no wrong. We support him to the death. We'll die supporting Israel. You know, well, wait a minute. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. There's nothing wrong with that, but wait a minute, you know. There's a lot of stuff that they're not looking at here. We're just going to go blindly and support anything and everything that the devil does through Israel. Remember, they're living in great darkness until they get born again, just like we were before we got born again. Father, we thank you for the word tonight, and we thank you, Lord, for getting rid of these excuses in our lives, that we'll get rid of that excuse mentality. We'll get rid of fear of facing the giants. And we'll face the enemy, we'll face the darkness, and we will prevail by the grace of God, as we are end time overcomers today. And we walk in holy boldness. Yes, we walk in holy boldness because you've given us boldness, Lord. And so I thank you for holy boldness in each of us to walk the way that you call us to walk, not the way that some religion tells us to walk or some man tells us we ought to walk, but, Lord, the way you call us to walk, our walk with you. And I thank you that only you can lead us in the way that you would have us to go, according to your word, Lord. And so praise the Lord. We thank you for divine empowerments in our lives, Lord, from above. Great grace. And we shout grace, grace, grace to our lives, as it says in the Bible. Shout grace, grace to it. And we shout that grace to us, Lord. And we thank you for making us everything you want us to be, Lord. We yield ourselves to you tonight, Lord. Just say, "I yield myself to you, Jesus. Do what you want in me and with me." You know, that's consecration. Consecrating yourself and allowing Jesus to have his way with you. That's important. That he has his way. Not we have our way. Not the devil has his way. But Jesus, you have your way. Your will be done. Even Jesus said that he was about to go to the cross. He said, "Not my will be done, but your will be done, Lord." And it was. And therefore, we are today who we are. are. Thank you, Jesus, that we are who you want us to be, Father. And we're becoming everything you want us to be. We give you the glory for that in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. All right, we'll be right back, and we're going to do some deliverance here for a little bit here. So we will come back and cast out some demons for a short period of time that we have. Don't have a lot of time left, but we have some. So we'll be right back. 3 minutes.
Let's go, my friend, climb the mountain with me. We're gonna sing and dance for eternity. The trail we're on may be quite rough to see, but as you start to walk, I'll give you all that you need.
After the enemy now. It's time in Jesus' name. Just say the name of Jesus. I command every wicked spirit to come out in Jesus' name. I'm not in agreement with you. You have to go as you're called out. You have to go. I reject you, renounce you, and command you to come out of me in Jesus' name. Now just repeat that if you can, or something like that. All right. Compromise spirit, we come against you. Pressure to compromise. There's a spirit called pressure to compromise that put the pressure on, right? You feel the pressure sometimes. You feel the pressure not to back off. You feel the pressure not to speak up. So we command that spirit, pressure to compromise, to come out of there in the name of Jesus right now. Go, 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 go. Come out. Pressure to compromise. come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Spirit, they put that pressure of compromise on. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out. Pressure to compromise. Come out. Compromise spirit. Go, 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 go. All that pressure. Come out, 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 out of there. Up and out in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus against you demons. Yes. You shall not prevail in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, compromise, come out, pressure to compromise, come out, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you, come out, all that procrastination spirit, come out. Procrastination, you go right now, go, 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 all the way out, all the way out. All that spirit of procrastination, putting things off, putting important things off, yes, putting things that you know God is in favor of and for, but, well, you just don't have time. I just got to put that off. I'll do it another time. Come out. All that procrastination, go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Procrastination all the way out. All the way out, all the way out. Spiritual laziness, come out, come out. Spiritual laziness, come out, 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 out of there. All the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go. All that spiritual laziness, come out, 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 come out. Lethargy, laziness, apathy, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come all the way out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, 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 move, move, move. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, all the way. In Jesus' name, go, go, keep going. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Keep going. All that apathy, come out. All that putting things off. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. The blood of Jesus. Fear of man, too. Get rid of that. Fear of man. Fear of what people think. Fear of what they're going to think of me if I ever say anything of my beliefs about the Lord. You come out of there. Go, 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 go. Fear of criticism. Fear of man. Fear somebody's going to, you know, start a argument with you or, you know, say something to you about what you believe. Come out all the way out or tell you to tone it down or calm down. Come out. Come out of there all the way out. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Come on. Fear of man. Bring it to snare. That's what the Bible says. Come out all the way out. So we command that snare to go too in Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Come out. Fear of man. All the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out of there. Fear of man, fear of people, fear of their opinions, fear of their looks, their judgments. Come out, all the way out. Go, all the way up out of there. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, fear of what people think. Come out, fear of backlash. Come out, 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 come out. Jesus' name, go, go. Fear of demons, come out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Lucifer, let them go, all the way out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Fear what people think of you. Fear, come out. All that fear, come out. Jesus' name, go, go, go. People-pleasing spirit, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus, we command spirits of confusion to go through. Spirit of confusion, come out. All confusion, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We break those curses of confusion over the mind. Come out of the mind right now. Come out of the mind. All that confusion, all that heaviness over the mind, the heavy weight, come out. Come out, 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 come out. All the heavy weight, every bit of that confusion, come out. All the heaviness, come out. The blood of Jesus, all that spirit of heaviness. Go, 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 go. Come out, heaviness, all the way out. All that heaviness, you have to lose people. Let them go. Come out, come out. Come on out of there. Go, go, go. All that heaviness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All that give up spirit tells you to give up. Just give up. Come on. Give up. Just give up. Come on. We bind that spirit to give up. Come out of there. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Tell people to give up. Just give up. It's not going to work. Nothing. God's not going to do anything for you. God's not going to answer that prayer. Give up. Give up. Give up. Come out. Come out. You're a liar, devil. You give up. In Jesus' name, devil. Come out. 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 Come out of there. Passivity. Come out. Passivity. Come out in Jesus' name. Just like the dog laying down, turning over on its back. Yeah, just giving up. Come out all the way out. All that passivity. Come out. Come out of passivity. Go, 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 go. Go all the way out. The passive spirit. Come out. All that passivity. Come out in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Go in Jesus' name. Get on out of there. Move, 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 move. The blood of Jesus, go in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, go all the way out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, go, go. Spirit of poverty, you come out. We break the curses. Come out right now. Jesus' name, come out. Poverty, come out. All that poverty, we break the power and control of poverty. We break the poverty mentality, the poverty curse. Come out, poverty, go. In the name of Jesus right now, go, go. Out, 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 all the way out. All that poverty spirit, go. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Get out of there. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus against poverty curse. Go all the way out. Poverty spirits, mammon spirits, come out. Bowing to mammon, go. Idolatry, go. Come out. All idolatry, come out. 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 The blood of Jesus, yes. Every bit of that give up spirit, go. Every from the root, we pull you up from the root, devil. Come out of there. All that giving up spirit. Come out. 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 All the way out. Let's keep going. All that perfectionism, come out right now. Perfectionism spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. The blood of Jesus. All the way. Spirit of overwhelm. Just feeling overwhelmed. That's the spirit trying to attack people today is overwhelmed. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Overwhelmed. Perfectionism. Come out. Overwhelmed. All the way out. Spirit of being overwhelmed all the time. Being overwhelmed. Oh, I'm just overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. Come out of there. That's the devil trying to overwhelm you. Come out. Come out, that overwhelmed spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. All that perfectionism. Keep going. Keep going. All the way out. All the way out. All that perfectionism. Loose them, and let them go. All the way out. And all the way out. All that overwhelmed spirit. Oh, just feeling overwhelmed. It's all too much right now. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, up and out, go, in the name of Jesus, name of Jesus, overwhelmed, come out, it's all too much, I just can't take it anymore, oh, Yeah, that spirit's got you confessing, I can't take it anymore. Yeah, that's a demon thought too. Oh, I just can't take it anymore. I'm not going to make it. Yeah. Well, these are all negative confessions. Where are they coming from? The devils want you to talk that way to bring it to pass in your life. See, that's their mentality. That's what they want. So watch out what you say, because life and death is in the power of the what? Tongue. Right? Amen. So you got to guard that tongue. Watch what you say. Amen. Amen. Well, I think I'm coming down with COVID. Well, I break that one too. Come on. Stop that. No, they're just shedding all over me. Come out. All the way out. Come on. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. When they come around and say, well, everybody's getting this. It's just going around lately. Well, no. Just say, well, I don't receive it. It's not coming to my house. In Jesus' name, you got to stop the enemy when the temptation comes and the imagination comes with the temptation to receive these things when they come your way. So you just reject it, keep coming out of there, all the way up out of there. Go, keep going, all the way out, Jesus' name, you got to go. You got to go. The blood of Jesus against these spirits that have been called out. Go. Oh, well, everybody's getting it, you know. No, everybody's not. This is not me. Me's not getting it, you know. Hallelujah. I'm not taking it. You might be handing it out, devil, but I'm not taking it. I'm not a taker. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus. You know, lying symptoms. They lie to us to try to put it on us and give you a little dose of something and to try to put it on you, see if you'll receive it. Well, you just don't receive it. That's it. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your power, Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's call out some more here. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see. Moodiness. We come against the spirit of moodiness. Well, I'm just in a bad mood today. Well, why are you in a bad mood? Where'd you get that information from? Give me a chapter and verse. Come out of there. Come on. All that moodiness spirit. You know, I'm just in a bad mood. Come out. Come out of there, bad moody spirit. You moody spirit, come out. Manipulating your moods at their will. Come out. All the way out. No, I wasn't following you, but the Holy Spirit was. He knows. Come out all the way out. All the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Go. All that moodiness and that confusion. Come out. Fear the confusion. Go. All the way out. Go. Come out. All that moodiness. All that confusion. All that bad mood spirit. Go. Out. You're just always in a bad mood. Well, if people are noticing that about you, then you need to examine yourself. What spirit have I picked up, right? Come out of there. Go. All that bad mood spirit. Come out. All that changeable spirit. You know, some people, you just never know what mood they're going to be in, and you got to walk on eggshells till you find out whether they're in a good mood or a bad mood or in between or what. You know, they might snap at you otherwise, you know, because I've been around people like that. That's a demon, folks. There's spirits involved that cause that. It doesn't just happen for no reason that people are so moody. Come out of there. All the way out. Go. Move. Up and out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. All confusion. Go. All that confusion. Go. Spirit of darkness. Some people feel like darkness has settled over their lives. We rebuke the spirit of darkness. Come out. That spirit of darkness trying to settle over your life, make everything dark. Come out of there. Come out. Darkness, spirit of darkness. Go in the name of Jesus. all that darkness over the mind, come out of the mind, come out, come out, come out, come out. All that spirit of darkness, the Lord is light, not darkness, come out. All that darkness, go, 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 all the way out. All the way out of there, all that darkness, go, 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 all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, the blood of Jesus, all the way out, all the way out. Keep going, keep moving, all the way, keep going. Negative expectation spirit, you come out. Always having a negative expectation, quickly thinking of the negative instead of thinking of the word or of God or the positive. Come out. That spirit of negative expectation, come out. All the way out. All that negative expectation, come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Negative expectation, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Getting in agreement with that negative expectation can bring negative things to pass. Come out of it, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Fault-finding spirit, you come out too. Fault-finding spirit, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Fault-finding, all that fault-finding spirit, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Angel of the Lord, sword that fault-finding spirit right now. Come out. Come out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Yes, backstabbing spirit too, yeah. Come out, fault-finding, backstabbing, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way out. We break the power, the curse of those backstabbing spirits against us too. No weapon formed against us, she'll prosper. That's right. Slander, backstabbing, we break those curses. We cancel the assignments of those words that are being spoken behind people's backs right now. We cancel the assignments of those words, those negative words. We cancel their assignments in Jesus' name. Send them back where they came from in the name of Jesus. Yeah, all the way back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time of deliverance tonight. We cover ourselves with the precious blood. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Thank you for sealing this deliverance to us so that we can keep everything we got and walk it out and continue to get more. Thank you for the precious, precious blood, Lord. Oh, thank you for the forgiveness too of sins, Lord. Thank you that the blood has cleansed us of all sin and all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. But we are grateful for that blood, Lord, in Jesus' name. And bless every listener tonight, Lord. Bless them abundantly above all they could think or ask, Father. Just let your blessing be on them. And those who have tithed, Lord, bless them for their tithes, Father. Bless them for their giving, Father, that you would bring it back to them in great abundance, Father, that they would always have more than enough, Lord, that you would make provision in the name of Jesus. We thank you for that as well. In the name of Jesus, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. We have the newsletters done. It's just a matter now of getting them out for our bi-monthly newsletter. So you may get one in your email this week, next week probably. But tomorrow's the last day of this week. But anyway, all right. So I wanted to let you know, theoasiscommunitychurch.com, the website. You can email me at theoasis1@localnet.com. And we appreciate those who give and support the ministry. Lord bless you for that. We appreciate all of you who listen and pray for us too. This is important as well, very much so. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. All right. Well, we will get back to you next Friday night. So right now, we're going to say good night to you and thank God for you and praise the Lord that we are all saved. The human race to learn from our mistakes. How brilliant and smart and evolved can we be if we're still as foolish as Adam and Eve?
enemies and kings come out to yell and scream with all their might, crucify him once again, once again. Let's crucify him once again. How many tyrants, dictators we breed, because they perceive they are just what we need. How innocent, what victims can we pretend to be, when we sell our souls every day for our greed? And all the Maos and the Hitlers, the Genghis Khans of old, Napoleons and Stalins, the Caesars mean and bold, and all the Pol Pots and the Nixons raise their voices and chime in. All hail to him that cometh in his name, fall down before the king, what a king. Bow down before our king. And all the high priests and the servants, all the jubilant with palms, and all the Pharisees and hypocrites will join the crowd waving their arms, when they will pull the final curtain, show the world once and for all that all we've learned from history is that we never learn anything at all. Not anything at all. And all the Judases and Esaus, the Goliaths and the Sauls, and all the Sodomites and priests of Baal unite to show their cause. And all the Jezebels and Philistines, the enemies and kings, come out to yell and scream with all their might, crucify him once again, once again.
I guess we need to change the clocks tomorrow night or Sunday morning when you get up. So we lose an hour, right? Yeah, they're starting daylight saving times. I mean, they're changing the times early this year. Seemed like earlier than it was last year, doesn't it? Anyway. We've had people forget to do that either ways many times over all the years of pastoring, and they would either be an hour early or hour late, different times over the years, different ones that failed to know that the clock needed changing. I wish they would leave it at one time all the time, right? Why do they need to change it and upset the body clock like that? A lot of people have problems because they upset the body clock. Anyway, I'm glad to have spent a couple hours with you folks. Excuse me. May the Lord bless you richly and keep you in his arms of love and lead you and guide you as you walk your life. And, you know, he's with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we do need his divine guidance. We do need to hear from heaven. So may you hear from heaven. May you have his guidance. May you be directed by him in Jesus' name. Cares about your life. You're valuable to him. I mean, he paid such a great price for each one of us, and you included. I mean, each one of us. He paid wonderful, glorious, great price for us. And I just have to say thank you, Jesus, for your redemption. Wow. None of us earned what we got. None of us could be good enough to earn it. It's just such a gift. It's called grace. grace and truth came by Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We wouldn't be where we are without it. We couldn't stand in the evil day without it. The Bible says, having done all, stand in the evil day. We can do that through Christ. And we have what we need in him if we'll just take what we need, receive what we need. He will bring us through the fire, through the flood, through the troubles, through the difficulty. His hand is a strong hand, a hand that is bigger than all that the enemy's got. So he will take care of you, bring you through it, bring you to the other side of it. And you'll know who to give the glory to, right? We don't take any. We give it all to him, right? All the glory to you, my precious Lord. All the glory goes to you, my precious Savior. I praise you and worship you. I praise you and worship you, Lord. Oh, yes, lifting up holy hands unto the Lord and praising his holy name and exalting him day by day, moment by moment. We lift you up and exalt you, Lord Jesus. Praise you. The fruit of our lips, praise unto the Almighty One. We praise you, Lord. We praise you as we close tonight and go home or whatever we're doing, shutting down, preparing for bed. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We worship you. We glorify your name. We exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We praise you and exalt you, Lord. We glorify your name tonight. We glorify your name tonight. We praise you, praise you, praise you. As we sign off here, Lord, we just go out with the high praises of God in our mouth. And a two-edged sword. I got my Bible in my hand, my two-edged sword. Hallelujah, Lord. We love your word, Lord. I love your word. I kiss my Bible often because I love his word. I love his word. He is so precious. His word is life to those that find it, health to all their flesh. You know where that's found in Proverbs, I think chapter 2, right? So, yeah. So love that word. Love that word. Let that word have the preeminence in your life above everything. The word of God is exalted. He said, I've magnified my word above my name. That's Proverbs 4. Yeah, that's right. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 23. Love it. Love your word. Life to those who find it. Are you finding his word? Are you finding him in his word? He's just all through it because he is the word. Amen. So feast on him. And your soul will be satisfied. Your spirit will be satisfied and fulfilled. And your mind, your soul will be renewed. The renewing of the mind will take place as you feed upon the word of God. Yeah, my daily bread, right? It's our daily bread. And, of course, then there's the children's bread, which we had 30 minutes or about 30 minutes of tonight. The children's bread is deliverance. Anyway, all right, good night, folks. Getting going again here. I've already gone for a while. So Lord bless you. Love y'all. Thank you for being here. Good night now.